Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Love your playing. That was terrific. Our entire worship, terrific. Enjoyed it, every bit of it. And we're so glad all of you are here. And I've got some friends from my old church here, smiling faces. Y'all smile. You listen better when you smile, and I preach better when I smile. And I'm so appreciative of Doug asking me to minister in the Word today. And I thought about filling his shoes, and I know I can fill his shoes because he wears the same size that I do. Yeah, I gave him some golf shoes one time, so I know that they fit. Well, a visitor asked a church member here, said, "What color are your pastor's eyes?" And she said, "I don't know. When he prays, his eyes are closed. And when he preaches, my eyes are closed." Another time the preacher was preaching on about in the middle of the sermon. He said, "Sister Sue, would you wake up that guy next to you?" And she said, "You wake him up. You put him to sleep." Well, the title of this sermon today is, it's going to flash it up there. Oh, not yet. It's coming. There you go. Blessings in the desert when God shows up. Things happen. Now, I know that I'm going to hit everybody here today. This will be something relevant because everybody here has just finished getting out of a trial, or you have one right now, or one is on the way. That's our life, isn't it? You think it's done. You think you've got the victory. You know, you got this, and then something else happens. So here's some tips of what to do when something else happens. Let's look at James 1, 2 through 4. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Boy, there's a tremendous blessing. When somebody asks you, "How are you doing?" have you ever answered, "Lacking nothing"? Okay, so now I want to give you the hint and paraphrase of that. And here it goes. When you are experiencing the adversities of life and you are beset by burdens, be joyful and trust in God all the way, knowing He will see you through. God is always there to help you win the victory and make your faith stronger than ever. So, if you're in trouble, God is your deliverer. If you're down, He will lift you up. When you feel condemned, He is your vindicator. When life throws you a curveball, knock it out of the park. God will help you. So here's a question, and I get asked this quite often. Does God send our trials to test us? And here's what I say. Our problem is not God. Our problem is that we live in a fallen world. And we have an enemy. God is there to help you through your trials and misfortunes. I think of it this way. When I was learning to ride a bicycle, I fell off. That was a trial. That was a test. But my daddy didn't push me down to teach me a lesson. It was just the experiences of life. My dad was there to help me, pick me up, put me back on the bicycle, and said, "Go for it." So, did a little study. I learned a Greek word. I didn't always know this, but I did a little study this week on trials and tests, and I looked up the Greek word for that word test, and I found out it was also the same word used when it said trial. A trial and a test, and it's the same word when it uses temptation. It's all perasmos, and here's the definition. God proving himself through adversity. Perasmos, God proving himself through adversity. All right, James 1:13, just a little further down in that same chapter, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. Another way of saying that, let no one say when you're going through a trial, God, why are you doing this to me? For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. He's not sending your perasmoses, if I can put it that way. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. So James is saying a perasmos is trying to distract you and lure you away from God. How about this? A perasmos, what's happening in the perasmos, the enemy is trying to lure you away and distract you and convince you that God is behind your problems. I preached a sermon one time called Angry at God, and I just asked for, not very many times do I ask for a show of hands, but I said, how many of you either are now or have been angry at God? And everybody in the congregation raised their hands. Yeah. And God's up in heaven saying, you've got the wrong idea. I'm not the bad guy. There is a bad guy, but I'm not him. So instead of asking, why me, or where's God, just remind yourself, that's a feeling that you have. I don't know if our feelings ever get born again. They're there. They've been there for a long time, and they oftentimes say the same old things over and over. You're not worthy. You don't deserve it. You're nobody. You're the exception. God doesn't love you. And on and on. God is for you, not against you. How about when I sin? No, he's not even against you then. He is for you against your sin. He turns a burden into a blessing if you'll trust him. Trials come, tests come, troubles come. The devil wants to break you. God wants to boost you. God is in the blessing business, not the burden business. He's a burden reliever. I wanted to say taker offer. Can I say that? Peter said, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Cares are distractions that obscure your awareness of God, of God's presence, and try to weaken your faith. Has your faith ever been weakened, and then it had to be built back up again? Well, doesn't God send our trials and our tribulations to test us? No. James said they're sent by the enemy to distract us and to lure us away from greater faith and to keep our focus on our problems. Have you ever been guilty of that like I have? Yes. A problem mentality. No, here's what's in store for you. Deliverance, victory, endurance, favor, blessing, reward, relationship. That's what's in store for you. Why not just speak to yourself? Speak those words, those promises over yourself. And I like to say, go ahead and do it in the mirror and point at yourself and say, that's you. Your problems do not define you. The Word of God defines you. Jesus is there to help you, not to harm you. Jesus said, my burden is light. The Bible is full of stories of how men and women of God handled opposition and the misfortunes of life. They're there to encourage us that God is faithful. See, when God's people were in Egypt, his plan was to get them out of Egypt, but not just to get them out and say, good luck, hope you make it. No, he said, I'll be with you all the way. So if you ever feel like you're in the desert, you're in the wilderness, don't say, oh, I guess God sent me out and I'm just got to fend for myself. No, no. He'll go with you. He'll go into the desert with you, and he'll go through the desert with you. Not everybody made it, but those who stayed in faith did. Hebrews tells us many who died in the desert. Didn't say that's what God's plan was for their life. Didn't say that. He said it was because of their lack of faith. They stopped believing in the God who was there. See, God revealed his name to Moses. You know, we call it Jehovah or Yahweh. But what that actually means in the Hebrew, it's an unpronounceable name unless you put some vowels in there. But the interpretation is God was saying, here's who I am. I am the God who is there. Another translation said, I am the God who will be who I will be. In other words, you can't control me. Later it was said by Israel's enemies, what other nation has a God who is so near to them? Here's my point. You are not alone or forsaken because of the troubles that you are experiencing right now. Get a different perspective. Here's a good prayer. God, you are active and involved in my life, especially when I am in trouble or going through a trial. See, it doesn't mean God's far away. That means God is near. He runs to you, not away from you. So let that be a lesson to us too when we're going through a trial. Sometimes we even run away from God in the midst of our troubles and trials and tests and temptations. That's not the time to run away from God. It's the time to run to God. I am trusting you, Lord. There's a good declaration prayer. I am trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting your hand when I cannot see your face. In the midst of a problem, we tend to magnify the problem. The more we talk about it, the bigger it gets. It's almost as if we're bragging on our problem and how, you know, it's never going to go away. It just seems to get bigger and bigger. Oh, I prayed, but my problem's still there. Well, what is happening? You're magnifying your problem and you're minimizing your God. We need to do just the opposite. Why don't we start magnifying our God and saying, he is able to deliver me. My God will see me through. I have a God who never leaves me nor forsakes me. He's bigger than all of my problems. And my God is active and interested, and he cares. My God will deliver me. This problem is temporary. God is eternal. It's human nature to talk about our problems. I did some counseling one time, and this guy that came to see me a couple of times, I noticed that whenever we kind of had our session, he would talk 90% of the time. I couldn't get in a word edgewise, and what he did was he was talking about his problems the entire time. I finally said the next time he showed up, I said, let's just start with a little bit of you talking about your problem, and then we're going to start talking about God's solution to your problems and make prayer declarations over you. Your secret weapon in the desert is the presence of God, his love, his divine power, and his favor. So just remind yourself. Happens to all of us, but we all have the same God. We all have the God that cares for us in the same way, and the God that wants to be our vindicator and our victory. Moses knew tremendous blessings. How about talking to God in person? But yet, he experienced tremendous burdens and disappointments along the way. You'd think, God, you wouldn't let that happen to me. I mean, you and me, God, you know, we got this thing. I'm your boy. You're my God. But think of the terrible disappointments. I mean, it even got so bad along the way. Remember, it says that Moses struck the rock. He was supposed to speak to it. That was tremendous frustration. Okay, so if that happened to Moses, just realize that can also happen to you. Unless you make these prayer declarations over your life, reminding yourself of who you are in God's eyes, what God thinks about you, and what God says the solution to your trials and temptations are right now. Moses could handle many difficulties in the desert because he knew that God was with him. God had a solution for every one of them. All right, so do you remember some of the problems? You know the stories of the people in the desert. Water came from the rock. Come on, y'all, talk to me. Water came out of the rock. Manna from heaven. Quail. Fire by night, cloud by day. Deliverance from the Egyptians. Remember that old song, Pharaoh's army got drowned? Okay, did y'all say manna? Somebody say manna? Okay. How about the Red Sea parting? Oh, well, we thought you knew that. No, don't take it for granted, and don't forget it. Here's what God said in Exodus 33. See if you can find it there, unless you already did it. There you go. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Now, if he did that for Moses, will he also do that for you? Of course he will. You got to tell yourself that, because your feelings are not running in those channels. God, why have you forsaken me? I feel all alone. Nobody loves me. I don't even think you do. I've got a really bad self-image right now. No, let's just remind ourselves, hey, God's presence is with you right now. He will see you through. Every problem that you have in the wilderness, he has a solution for. And Moses said, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us out of here. In other words, don't get us out of Egypt if you're not going with us. We won't last a few days. I don't know, has anybody ever been in a desert? Yeah. Hopefully you had some provisions, but imagine just heading out there. All right, we're getting out of here. Promised land is someplace, beyond that horizon there. Don't know how we're going to make it. He wants to be with you just as much as he wants to be with Moses. So, now we talked about the presence of God. And Moses knew it so intimately and personally that he said, I'll know when it's not there. So if you don't go out with us, we ain't going. So it's kind of like he's doing a little check. Okay, God, you present? Okay, you're there. All right, everybody, let's go. Let's ride. We pray when we need something. What we need is someone. Moses could have said, just get us out of here. I can handle the rest. My little 2-year-old granddaughter, she oftentimes tells me, I got this. You try to help her put on her shoes, puts her hand up. I do it. Yeah. Don't just pray, help me, but be near me, Lord Jesus. If he doesn't remove the obstacle, he'll help you over it. That's grace. Joshua 1, 5, and 6. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That means no one resists you. All the days of your life. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. Are you going through a difficulty? Just clip out that little scripture, print it off, put it on your mirror, and put your name on it. Steve, no man shall be able to resist or withstand you all the days of your life. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. Speak that over your life. You'll be ready for the day. God told Gideon, Judges 6:12, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. I will make you mighty, and you shall save Israel." Wow. Oh, well, that was Gideon. No, that's you. Just go ahead and put your name in there. It's actually fun when you do that. And it's like you're putting yourself right there in the middle of Scripture. And God, who spoke those promises several thousand years ago, is also speaking them over your life. You're no different. The Bible says God's no respecter of persons. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. So, but look at that. God told Gideon, "You're a mighty man of valor." Then he said, "I will make you mighty." You know why that is? Because Gideon probably started laughing halfway through that sentence, knowing that he was not a mighty man of valor. You know, before that, he was probably known as Gideon the chicken. Yeah, he had no ability. He was not a mighty man, but God called him a mighty man, and then Gideon accepted it. So how about it, folks? Why don't you accept it? That's who you are. You're a mighty man. You're a mighty woman of valor, of courage. You have it within you with God present in you to do it. You might say, well, yes, God has answered my prayer partially, but it's not over yet. Now, I don't know if you've ever said this, but have you said, "I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop"? Or, keep your fingers crossed. No, none of that's in the Bible. No, there's no buts to it. Don't put "but it's not over yet." Listen, praying for your children is never over. You thought, oh, well, they're out of high school. Okay, stop praying now. They got it. No. Out of college? No. Got married? No. Got grandkids? No. You've got more to pray for. With every stage of our life, there's danger and opportunity. We need God all the time. I see some heads nodding. Okay, so here's a testimony, and I've got some folks from my former church. Y'all wave your hand. They kind of had to sit over here in the corner by themselves. But they remember. Here's a little testimony. When we decided to move out of our old church on Jacksboro Highway, we prayed for God to make a way. And there were so many miracles along the way. Just God answering prayer, people giving money that we thought had no money to the project, selling our old church for about $200,000 or $300,000 more. Now, they can tell you I'm telling the truth. So I'm glad I'm testifying in front of my old friends there. So it was just miracles all along the way. Even finding the place where we were going to build the church. We were looking for a place. And I had seen this place over by the baseball diamonds over here by the Wendy Ryan Rodeo. It looked like a nice place, good level lot. And then Becky one night, didn't know this, but Becky, that I had already seen it, she came and said, "You know what? I kind of had a vision." I said, "What of?" She said, "I see our church sitting on that piece of property." And I said, "Well, I've already checked into it. It's not available." And she goes, "Well, I don't care. That's what I saw." So I had the phone number of the guy that owned the property, so I just called him up and I said, "Is that property for sale or not?" He said, "No, it was off the list, but it's back on." And I said, "Well, we're interested in it." So we did it. We got that piece of property. And if you look over there, when you're driving by Loop 820, you'll see a church sitting right there. So God, there were a lot of disappointments along the way. That's what I want to emphasize, is that everything didn't just fall into place. When we voted to move out of Rockwood Christian Church, we took a vote that Sunday and said, we all want to do this, don't we? We want to sell the church and we want to build out here on the Loop. Is that what we want to do? It was 100%. Nobody ever spoke against it. Nobody voted against it. But only half of us actually went. That was a big disappointment. If I had known that in advance, that only half would go, I wouldn't have done it. Well, we had some money to start the building project. We didn't have enough money to finish it. Well, I talked to about 10 banks. After each time I talked to a bank, somebody in our church would say, what are you doing? You're still talking to banks. Don't you get the message? God's going to do this. A bank isn't going to do it. I'm going, well, might help. No, no. So I talked to about 10 banks. They all gave me the same answer. Well, so we decided to just start building the church with the money we had. And we got the foundation done. We got the walls up. We got a roof on it. We got it dried in. And then we spent all of our money doing that, every bit of it. And no bank would talk to us then either to say, help us finish it out. No. So I talked to a friend of mine, Matt Oxley. They were meeting in a daycare, and they had about 400 people meeting in their church services. They had to have a whole bunch of them to get them all in and out of this little daycare. Talked to him, and I said, how about this? This is what God is showing me. Somebody's going to come along beside us and help us finish that church out, and then we'll both have services there. He came back later, and he said, we like that idea. And that's what they did. They spent $1.2 million. We spent $1.2 million getting it dried in. They spent $1.2 million finishing it out. And then we met together. I mean, we met in the same building for about a year. And then we said, why don't we just join up and be one church? And every time I go by that church or I'm in one of those church services, I just go, thank you, Lord. You were there all the time. And guess what? We don't have a note we're paying off. And we were a pretty small church, but I just kept believing that this was just going to explode and have a 500-seat sanctuary just full of people the very first Sunday that we opened up. Well, it didn't all happen that way, but you see, God was with us bringing about the best solution, not the one the pastor thought was the best solution. So this is the testimony. Here's the takeaway. God was with us all along. And I'll just look back and say, oh, thank you, Lord. It worked out the way it did, not the way I wanted it to work out. So don't be happy with your circumstances. Be happy in your circumstances. Psalm 95:2 says, let us come into his presence. From now on, can I just say the P word? Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. There you go. There's the key. Moses said, I'm not going without it. Vision Church says, we're not moving without it. It's the presence of God. That's what I want in my personal life. I want in our church life as well. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Now, in prison, O Paul and Silas, they were not giving thanks for their circumstances, but they were giving thanks in them because God was their deliverer. They praised him. So was God's presence there with them in the jail cell? Yes, they recognized it. They began to praise him. You're here, Lord. Thank you. We just worship you. You are our deliverer. And they praised him. Wasn't too much longer that, you know, the jail cell shook. Things started falling apart. God delivered them. They got out of there. It was the miracle. But the key was, Paul and Silas, I believe, will tell you this. It was God's presence. We were not forsaken. We were not abandoned. We were not left alone. And that's what God will do for us. You're not the exception. You feel like it when you're going through a trial. Oh, I'm the exception. God has forgotten me. No, he hasn't. Find out what God did for others, and he'll do it for you. I think of that old gospel hymn. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Okay, here's our closing prayer. If you'd like to pray it all together. Okay. God, I'm glad you are never far off, especially when I'm down and nearly out. Thank you for being present in the midst of my difficulties and circumstances. You are there to heal, bless, and help me at all times. I know it's true. You never leave me or forsake you. Thank you in Jesus' name. This is a God that you want to get involved with and to call on. So if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, you've heard about him, but you haven't personally invited him into your heart, this is your opportunity to do so. So you just simply pray a prayer like this. God, I repent of my sins. I invite you into my heart. Come in and be my Lord and my Savior. In case you prayed that prayer this morning, talk to somebody in leadership and say, hey, I prayed that prayer. I want to get to know God better. This is your invitation to do so. So God bless all of you for being here today. It's been such a blessing. Thank you for my old friends. I hate to call y'all old. Now, I can't call you former friends. What should I call you? Family? Okay. How about you're just there? Oh, well, God, that's the way he is. God, you are there. God bless y'all for being here. If you'd like any further prayer about anything, questions, we're here. Leadership's here. Thank you so much, Cindy, for leading today. And our wonderful praise team led by Brian. Y'all just do such a great job. Yeah. So let's brag on them whenever Doug and Tasha comes back. And let's remember to pray for them while they're on vacation.